Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. So, it's really interesting how we have a bit of selective memory from our own days as kids. Here's what I mean. All right. If you went to college, okay, if you went to college, you probably went through something similar to what I went through, okay? That if you go to college, generally, and every school is different, private schools obviously have more, but you have to get a tetanus shot, okay? You have to get a tetanus shot. Some schools make you have to get, they have to get MMR, that's measles, mumps, and rubella, okay? The tetanus shot, diphtheria, and pertussis, I'm not even sure what that is, okay? But that's one, it's called Tdap. It's a one you have to get. And then some schools make you have to get a bacterial meningitis shot. It's really interesting that we have, we're inoculated against stuff previously. Only now there's pushback. And the idea behind it is there's so much stuff that we don't actually know. And I'm not professing to know either. I just know that enough smart people say this is something you got to do. Go do it. And here's the logical reason why. Do you guys see this latest story? That the New England has an assistant coach who won't be with the team this year due to health and safety protocols. In other words, he was relieved of his duties. Right? This is going to happen. You're either going to get vaccinated or you're going to have to find another line of work. And remember, as I stated, the difference in coaches and players are coaches are not protected by a union. Players are. And so it'll be harder to get rid of a player that refuses to get inoculated. But that doesn't mean it won't happen. So Paul Christ is going to join us momentarily. I think so much of this is fascinating. Did you guys hear, Ramos, do you have that sound of Tom Brady yesterday?
I'll grab it. Stand by.
That was an interesting one. I thought that was fascinating. You know, look, here's the thing. People and who they appear to be before the media is not necessarily who they are in real life. My belief is that the truth about Bill Belichick is that players love Bill Belichick. There's this sense that we get he's the worst. He's a jerk. They're cheap. It's all about him. And then you hear how Randy Moss talks about him. You hear how other Patrick Chung saying how difficult it was for him to go in there and retire. The image of Bill Belichick is gruff. We're on to Cleveland. We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to whomever. He doesn't have time or the desire for any of your small talk. He just, what a jerk, right? Whereas the image of Tom Brady has always been, oh, gee, shucks, I'm just Tom Brady. I'm just so fortunate to be here. Man, Tom Brady, what an unbelievable teammate, right? Unbelievable. Takes less money, always makes the right play. You know, no ego involved at all. And then the biggest win he had because he was such a robot earlier in his career was they win the Super Bowl and he gets white boy wasted at the victory boat parade, right? That was a huge win for him. Guys are like, I've been day drunk like that. Man, that must have been a really good nap. You ever do that? You drink during the day and then you take a nap and you wake up, it's dark outside. You're like, I have no idea what day it is or where I am. That was Tom Brady, I'm sure. I mean, he's throwing the trophy around. But Tom Brady's enjoying this kind of moment in the sun, this victory lap, if you will, where he's, I mean, this was Tom Brady. I believe we have it, right? This is Tom Brady talking yesterday about teams that passed on him.
Me to go than where I actually went was the Bucks, and
but you've caused a lot of intrigue with this, and everybody's guessing. Do you care to expose who it was you were talking about?
The team? No, because there's private things for me that are going to remain, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, they know that the teams.
You think they know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested, and I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just a reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing. And at the same time, let me go prove to the team that did bet on me and the team that really showed that they really wanted me and committed to me that I'm not going to let them down.
Okay. Now, the first part I will point out, okay, is that most every athlete, matter of fact, I'm going to say all, deep in their hearts, believes that they're way better than whatever you think they are. And even Michael Jordan, who many people consider, myself included, the greatest of all time, thinks of himself in greater terms than Michael Jordan is considered. Right? LeBron James already said, I'm the best player ever because we came back 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors. Like, they all do it. So I'm not going to sit here and chastise Tom Brady when he has more championship rings than any quarterback in the history of the sport, and we give credit to the quarterbacks, and go like, you know what? He shouldn't believe that he's the Michael Jordan, the Wayne Gretzky of the sport. However, he's not the Michael Jordan or the Wayne Gretzky of the sport. He's just not. Like, he wasn't the best quarterback in the league. He wasn't the best quarterback in either of his last two games he played. His team was simply healthier. And look, we've seen some of this from Giannis, and Giannis is getting away with it because he's young and it's his first championship and we feel good. But Giannis is like, man, I want to work through this team. I don't want it to be easy to and join a super team. Like, you think it was easy for Kevin Durant? You think that's easy? Going to a team, not playing for a year, not playing in the bubble, joining a team, they trade for James Harden middle of the year. They play together all of 8 games. Then you get in the playoffs. Then Kyrie Irving gets hurt. You think that was easy? But because you win, we let you just run your mouth and say things that don't actually make sense. Tom Brady's not the Wayne Gretzky of this sport. He's not the Michael Jordan of the sport. No one is going to ever say, like, you know who the best? They'll say the most successful, and winning follows him. But the other part is, like, now you're starting to understand how the Garoppolo story of, hey, either get rid of him or get rid of me. And you're like, man, that doesn't seem like Tom Brady. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. This is the beauty to Brady, and what he's been able to do is control the narrative and never say, and gee shucks it. And now the real Tom comes out. That's not the Tom versus time Tom. That's not the kind, thoughtful, considerate Tom. This is the real Tom. And they're all like this. All of them are vicious competitors. Vicious. They all get their panties in a wad when somebody drafts another quarterback. Aaron Rodgers isn't the only one. Tom Brady gets mad. First through 7th round, they don't care. Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, they all get pissed. All of them. But it's like, Tom, I mean, those teams that you're talking about, I mean, I know the Chargers wanted him, the Niners wanted him, but the Niners, like, we got to keep in mind they had just been to a Super Bowl. Just been to a Super Bowl. And could they have taken on Tom Brady? Like, yeah. But what do you do with your current quarterback? Real easy to say, well, the Raiders should have gone after him and got rid of Derek Carr. But it's like, okay, so we're just supposed to jettison a guy that you know, we've been building around? I don't know. It doesn't make, I mean, Tom Brady sounded incredibly arrogant. All these guys that passed on me are dumb. I'm the Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky of the sport. I just, for a guy who has controlled his outwardly perceived confidence for so long, well, there's some arrogance. And you could say, hey, well, look, we do it. That's what we do. You win. You get to say whatever you want.
Eesh. Eesh.
Long-term, big money, pay the man deals. Why they suck. I'll explain next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, there's a lot of... I mean, this is... You know, the last time around, I was at ESPN, and I'll never forget when I had the story, and it was... Previously, it was Texas was leaving to go to the Pac-12, right? And then all of a sudden, that thing fell apart. And so I was sitting, I think, at home. Now, I think I was driving into work, and I got a call, and it was from a basketball coach in the SEC. And he told me, he's like, hey, A&M and Missouri are joining the league and they're trying to get Clemson and Georgia Tech as well. I ran it by the powers to be, but it was a long time coming. And there were other, this one, Texas and Oklahoma reportedly leaving the Big 12. This kind of seemed to happen overnight. Brett McMurphy joins us from Stadium Sports. He's a college football insider. Brett, did this one sneak up on you?
Yeah, unfortunately it did. It snuck up on everybody. But, Doug, they've been talking since December. That's initially when Texas and Oklahoma reached out to the SEC to kick the tires. After the talks continued that, yes, there would be interest, then the SEC made all their presidents aware of this. They've known that for a few months now. And now they've got to the point, basically, where sources have told me Texas and Oklahoma will notify the Big 12 next week, possibly as early as Monday, of their intentions to leave the conference, and then will, at some point after that, officially apply to join the SEC, which, other than Texas A&M right now, that's the only dissenting vote. So that would get approved. So then the only question now is, do they wait out the next 4 or 5 years with the grant of rights, or do they try to get the lawyers involved, pay some money, and get out of the Big 12 early, perhaps starting in the SEC in 2022.
Wow. Why?
Money. That's the reason why. And, you know, both of you, both of us, you know, are Oklahoma State grads, and it sucks for the Big 12. But basically, I think Oklahoma and Texas are looking at the long play on this. And that is, do you re-up your Big 12 rights for 10, 15 years with the Big 12? Or if you have an opportunity, do you go to the most powerful conference where you are going to increase your media rights deal from 35, 40 million a year to probably over 60 million a year? And so basically that's what they've decided to do. I know a lot of people say, why would Oklahoma lead the Big 12? They win the Big 12 every year. They go to the college football playoff. I think one reason is, knowing that the playoff is going to 12 teams, if you're in the Big 12 and you win the Big 12, you're in the playoff, okay? But what if there's a year you don't win the Big 12? You're not guaranteed a spot in the playoff. If you're in the SEC, you can finish second, you can finish third, heck, you can finish fourth, and you'll get in a 12-team playoff. If you look at the last 7 years of the college football playoff, I looked this up, if we would have had that format in place, 3 of the 7 years, the SEC would have had 4 teams in a 12-team playoff. So I think that's part of the reason why Oklahoma is doing it too. But Doug, to answer your initial question, it's money. That's the number 1 through 10 reasons. And then after that, you can spin it however you want. But make no mistake, it's all driven by money.
Well, I understand that. I also would – there's a bunch of other interesting parts to it, right? There's the one – I know that's the bird in the hand and two in the bush, but – Won't the Big 12 make more money in their next TV deal and get them, while they won't be the same, they'll be close? And then the other part is, like, one of the things that Texas has the benefit of, yeah, maybe they don't make as much as the SEC schools, but they're not competing against schools that spend nearly as much, so that they're at a sizable financial advantage to everyone they compete against.
Yeah, but I think it's more long-term stability. I think they just feel with the SEC, there's more stability, you know, and, you know, use an analogy you can appreciate. If you think, and I think most people involved in college athletics believe this, and that is we're going to see 16-team conferences at some point. So if you know you're going to get to 16 teams and you're choosing sides or you're in a pickup game, do you want the first pick to get to 16 or do you want the last pick? And so I think that's why Oklahoma and Texas went to the SEC, and that's why the SEC obviously would take both of those schools in. And then you kind of you get in there and you battle and see what can happen. I mean, you know, last time the SEC expanded, they went with Missouri and Texas A&M, and everybody said Missouri can't compete in the SEC. What'd they do? They won the East the first 2 years. So
yeah, I mean, but look at them now. Now they're a turnstile of fired coaches. You know, I mean, they also their schedule is super easy, right? Like. They didn't have to play Bama. They didn't play the good teams in the West. Like they're buried.
Yeah, but what are they? Are they better off than they were in the Big 12? I would say they probably are long term. And again,
I don't think so. Know. I don't think so. Missouri's basketball isn't better off. Their football is buried. Where they could do, they? This would be my argument with A&M. A&M is the one who got screwed in this whole thing, right? Like they got right. completely screwed in this whole thing. Where you know they basically brought the. What is it? They brought the wolf into the hen house. You know, oh, hey, coming to Texas. And now A&M, had A&M stayed in the Big 12, they would have had a chance to compete for a Big 12 title several times over. They haven't been competitive for an SEC title.
But here's the what. So we know, it, you know, I talked to Ross Bork, the A&M AD at SEC Media Days in Birmingham a couple days ago. You know, he made... You know, they're not shy about it. They're out front with it. They do not have any interest in Texas being in the league. But you look at it a different way. If Texas joins the league, A&M's number one recruiting pitch is going to be, you know what? Texas had to follow us into the SEC and crawl and beg on their to get in.
That doesn't do it with high school kids. They don't care. They're like, oh.
What they do care about, Doug? They care about – a quarterback from Alabama who could be making $1 million in the NIL.
Yes.
And that quarterback is in the SEC and has never started a game. And every game is going to be broadcast on ESPN, not ESPNU, not ESPN Plus, not Fox Sports One, but ESPN. And that carries a lot of weight too. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the reasoning also.
Oh, I definitely think it's part of the pitch. Brett McMurphy joins us. Okay, you mentioned Oklahoma State. Like, here's the part that you and I know that I'm not sure people understand. Like, state legislatures get involved, and this is where it gets dicey. Last time around, I was told, you know, one of the reasons the Big 12 stay together is Kansas State, Oklahoma State. All it takes is one of these state representatives to go like, hey, you know, if you're going to leave your conference, your state brethren behind, like we might need to look into the whole tax shelter of college football, college athletics, right? So what happens when Oklahoma leaves Oklahoma State?
You know, Doug, we're going to find out. I do know that there is nothing contractually binding the two schools together. I know the last time when the Pac-12 was going to go to 16 and was going to take Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, there was a lot of talk that, well, that they were required to. That is not actually true. It was because David Boren, who there's actually a building at OSU named after him or his family. He has family members that went to Oklahoma State. He made sure to keep Oklahoma State together, make it a package deal. That's no longer the case, but you brought up a great point. Once politics get involved, it could squash it. It could change it. We'll have to find out. It certainly impacted Virginia Tech getting into the ACC, and there's a lot of other examples when politicians have done this to help schools get invite or keep schools together. That's kind of an unknown, but certainly something to keep your eye on in the next few months.
All right. And by the way, I think you reported that A&M did know. What's the truth? Did A&M know this was going on?
They didn't know. Come on, Doug. Yes. I had multiple people tell me that once all of the presidents were made aware of Texas and Oklahoma's interest in the SEC, that all of the presidents knew. They didn't tell 13 presidents and not tell A&M. So the report out there that said A&M was, quote, in the dark and didn't know about this till the last minute is 1,000% hogwash. I mean, no conference operates like that. It makes for great headlines. It feeds to the A&M-UT rivalry. But, nah, that's a bunch of malarkey.
But, Brett McMurphy breaking out the college football coaches' terms of malarkey and hogwash. I love it. Very, very early, the season. Okay, best guess. Okay, now listen, this is purely informed speculation. Okay. I am not running to the presses with any of this. Best guess. Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC when?
2022.
Best guess. What happens to the rest of the league?
Oh, man. I won't guess, but I'll let you figure it out for yourself. It depends simply, does the Big Ten want to go to 16? Does the ACC want to add a 15th football member? And does the Pac-12 want to go beyond 12? If any of those answers are yes, there will not be a Big 12 anymore, because West Virginia would go to the ACC, Kansas and Iowa State would go to the Big Ten. The Pac-12 may swoop in and get our Cowboys and some of the remaining Texas schools to get to 16. If none of those answers to the previous conferences expanding beyond their current numbers, if none of them expand, then the conference will remain as it is. And I actually had a source today tell me everyone thinks we're going to go add Cincinnati, BYU, Boise, UCF. We may be worth more money per school as an 8-member league than if we're a 12 or 14 member league and we add a bunch of group of 5 schools. So you know what that means, Doug. That means get out our old Big 8 logo shirts and start wearing those babies around again.
The one problem with the Iowa State deal is they're not a member, I don't believe, of
AAU.
Are they of the AAU?
Yeah, I believe they are, Doug. Not 100% on that, but
I'm looking it up right now, and they are not listed.
Okay,
hold on. Let me just double check here. No, it is. You're right. Iowa State is.
Okay.
My bad.
Okay,
you are correct.
Right.
I had no idea.
There you go. I didn't either. And the other question is, we don't know the answer to this. Does Iowa have a problem with Iowa State joining the league? Obviously, A&M has a problem with Texas. That doesn't mean Iowa would have a problem with Iowa State, but another unknown that will determine, you know, the future of the Big 12.
Well, what would be fascinating there, Iowa, their athletic budget is far higher than Iowa State. I wonder how those schools can compete, right? Like Iowa State right now, very competitive. Some people think they'll win the Big 12 this year. I don't know how they compete in the Big 10. Like, it's just, it is such a different league and a different deal, but it'll be fascinating to see. Fascinating. Brett, great stuff. Look forward to talking more college football with you in the very near future. Appreciate you joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Anytime, Doug. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right. That's Brett McMurphy. Check him out in Stadium Sports.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Jeff Schwartz joins us. He's co-host of Fox Sports Radio on Saturday with Steve Hartman, 12 to 2 Pacific time. Jeff Schwartz is smart in the new podcast. What do you make of these offensive line coaches getting fired because they won't take the vax?
It's not surprising, honestly. It's a conservative coaching kind of position, I would say. I mean, if most of my O-line coaches, if I had to guess whether or not they would choose to take it voluntarily, they wouldn't. We're to be hard-headed at times, but that's what the NFL does. It's even worse if you're a tier one or two employee than, you know, to be unvaccinated. You can't even coach the players. Like, that's the protocols they put in place. I mean, if you're an unvaccinated player, you can still play, obviously. They make life difficult for you with daily testing and social distancing, but if you're a coach, a tier one or two personnel, you can't even be with the players all day. Like, there's no way to conduct – you can't do your job even if you're unvaccinated. So it makes sense that coaches are being let go for this reason.
Yeah, and it's interesting on how we went from it being very divided, you know, one side saying, I don't know about this vaccine, to now if you watch political television, everybody seems to be aligned in this. But the football guy being behind. Okay, the difference, though, is, as you know, NFL coaches, there's no union protecting them. They're league employees.
Correct.
Likelihood this happens to an NFL player, that they get released because they won't vaccinate.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen to a superstar, but if there is a roster battle and you have two players fighting for a position, and you know maybe it's a seventh-round pick and undrafted free agent, and they're a battle of equal talent, and maybe the guy who's vaccinated is just not, you know, just a little bit less of a player than the unvaccinated guy. They're not taking the risk this year. They're not taking the risk of the unvaccinated player shutting down their team this year. Look, the NFL, you're forfeiting a game. College football is doing the same thing this year. If you cannot play for COVID, you are forfeiting. And I think that it won't be explicitly the reason why someone is cut, but I promise you players will be cut because they're not vaccinated. Are you going to cut Cole Beasley, for example, who's been very outspoken? No, right? He's a star player in that offense. But bubble guy, I mean, if you're not getting vaccinated as a bubble guy, obviously it's your own personal choice, but that's a poor business decision, because that's going to be one strike against you when they're looking to evaluate who makes the roster at the end of the season.
Jeff Schwartz is joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. All right, the very early returns, Tyron Smith down to 309, looks healthy. What's the likelihood Tyron Smith can get back to being seen as, if not the best, one of the two or three best left tackles in football?
Well, I was working with my guy in Dallas, and most people who work with Duke end up playing very good football. So that's a pretty good sign for him. Look, if he's healthy, which he's been not as hurt as people think, but he's still been injured for the last couple of years. You have him back on the offensive line. You have Zach Martin healthy back on the offensive line. That's two Hall of Famers right there. You have Lyle Collins, a very good right tackle, back healthy this season. Center is young. Left guard is young. But nonetheless, I think that's the makings of a very good offensive line. I think the Cowboys, Doug, can be really good this year. If Dak plays his normal self, the offense is going to be fine. If the defense can just be league average, get some turnovers, get a couple sacks, like just kind of get big stops when you need to get them, they're going to win the NFC East. Dak is by far the best quarterback in that division. I know that the Giants fans hope Daniel Jones can take that next step. But as of right now, that's Dak Prescott. And I think that if you're looking at NFC East winners, him just staying healthy, I think, gives the Cowboys the edge.
What do you think about the Packers? And Devontae Adams want to be the highest paid player at his position. The Packers seem to balk at it. And I don't know who shut down, but it appears Devontae Adams, they shut down contract talks. What do you think about where the Packers sit, waiting on Aaron Rodgers, and now running the risk of losing Devontae Adams?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're totally related. I think the Packers have a value system with the way that they go about their roster, and nothing's going to stop that, right? We see that with Aaron Rodgers, obviously. And with Adams, look, there's a number they wanted to get to. The number, obviously, was not agreeable by Adams, and they just stopped talking for a little bit. You know, I see people freaking out about this, but this happens quite often, right? That, you know, you stall before training camp. Devontae Adams plays well. Let's say Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back, and him and Jordan Love vibe, and they play well. He'll get his money, right? Like, it doesn't have to happen right now for him to get paid. I know people are panicking because, look, Aaron Rodgers is not there right now, so maybe both these guys are linked, but I don't think they're linked. I think Adams, again, will get his money at some point with Green Bay. Just not going to be today.
Jeff Schwartz joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Do you think it affects the Packers if they don't have them both up and going at the start of camp?
No. I will say that if it's going to be Jordan Love, which, I think Aaron Rodgers plays this season for the Packers, that, you know, it's good to have Jordan Love working with Adams as soon as possible. But I believe he wasn't there for most of the offseason program either. So, you know, if I was – a coach, I'd prefer that Adams was there early in camp. But I don't think Adams is holding out, right? He's not. He's going to show up, I think. I don't think he's holding out for a new contract. So it would be good to have him in camp working with Love till Rodgers. I just can't imagine Rodgers retires. They're not trading him. So I think Rodgers is back at some point. He may make him sweat for a preseason game or two. I don't know. But I think he's back playing this season for them.
Jeff Schwartz joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. The Rams lose a young star running back. And to this point in time, they haven't panicked and gone out and found anybody. Instead, simply going with the depth on their roster. How much does it change the Rams to not have that type of weapon?
I don't know that much. I mean, you know, if their offensive line can block, Daryl Henderson can get plenty of yards. He was good at Memphis. Obviously, it hurts to lose talented players anytime that, you know, they're not on your roster. But I'm not terribly worried about a running back in that offense. If Stafford is going to play as well as people think he's going to play, the running back is not, you know, who's playing running back, I should say, is not as relevant as is the scheme of the offensive line blocking for that guy. I think the hype for Stafford in this offense feels a little much for what we've seen him do, you know, the last couple of years. And I'm excited to watch this offense. So if Stafford can be as good as people think or people hope, this offense is going to be really good, whether Cam Akers is in the lineup or not.
Jeff Schwartz is joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you, is in fact the podcast. I want to play for you something Tom Brady said. Okay, this is Tom Brady yesterday, and you tell me what you think. Oh, wait, here, let me get it real quick. Okay, this is Tom Brady yesterday.
Better place for me to go than where I actually went was the Bucs.
But you've caused a lot of intrigue with this, and everybody's guessing. Do you care to expose who it was you were talking about?
No, because there's private things for me that are going to remain, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, they know that the teams.
You think
know,
they know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested. And it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just the reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance at Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing. And at the same time, let me go prove to the team that did bet on me and the team that really showed that they really wanted me and committed to me that I'm not going to let them down.
Okay, so look, I get, and you and I have, as athletes ourselves, plus we know, everybody we know, thinks they're a little bit better than they are, right? There's Michael Jordan thinks he's better than he is, and most people consider him the greatest of all time. LeBron James does as well. But what do you think about Tom Brady saying, you know, like Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, me, same sentence. You okay with that?
I'm fine with that part of it. It's we keep questioning, you know, Tom Brady and the way he motivates himself, but it's very clear how he does it, right? He takes every slight that he could imagine, and some of them are imagined, and turns it into an underdog story, right? I mean, if you remember the 2019 Patriots won the Super Bowl. They were like, this, we're the underdogs. It's like, well, you're like the third seed or second seed in the AFC. You're not an underdog. You've won 5 Super Bowls already. Like, you're not the underdog. No one believes in us. Yeah, everyone believed in you. Like, you know, so I think that Tom has always done this. He always manufactured this underdog and this no one likes me and chip on my shoulder mentality. So, of course, he's going to take a team being not interested in him. And who knows if what team it was or how much interest there really was and say, hey, they didn't like me. I'm going to prove to them that they were wrong. So I have no problem with him comparing himself to Gretzky and Jordan. But I just think it's funny that we still kind of get fired up when Tom makes these into like slights about him, which is the way he motivates himself.
That's a great point. It's a great point. You should have a podcast or maybe be on the radio. Oh, wait, you are. That's tomorrow, Saturday, 12 to 2 Eastern time. And of course, you can download the podcast. That's Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. Jeff, great stuff, dude. Talk soon.
I'm looking forward, by the way, to Oklahoma State, Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game in a couple of years.
I'm down with that. I'd be okay with that. I would. Shabbat shalom, right, Jeff. We'll talk soon. The truth behind the Schroeder-Kuzma drama and Hell Hath No Fury like fandom scorn. That's next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Everybody likes my AC/DC impression, right?
Here we go.
Yeah, sorry. I haven't got it yet. I gotta get a little.
Here we go.
Right? You gotta cover your mouth almost, right?
It's good.
Yeah, not open your mouth.
Here we go. In a minute.
All right. Let's get to what the Fox said. Colin Cowherd had this to say in the Lakers drama.
Dennis Schroeder of the Lakers and Kyle Kuzma feuded during the season. This is what I kept referring to throughout the course of the year. Schroeder is difficult. He was not great in the locker room. He frustrated teammates. The Lakers not only don't want to pay him, some of the guys just don't like him. Dennis Schroeder is 24 and is about to be on his fourth team. That's a problem when you're as talented as Dennis Schroeder because he's got talent. This Laker locker room was not great, I'm told. LeBron was frustrated with AD. Frank Vogel, who loves his bigs to be in shape, was frustrated with AD. Dennis Schroeder was driving everybody crazy, specifically, I guess, Kyle Kuzma. I'm told Frank Vogel is no guarantee to make it through the entire year next year. That's the kind of toxicity they were dealing with. LeBron's favorite movie is The Godfather. He loves Michael Corleone. You get whacked if you don't get business done. And you can go back to LeBron's career the last decade when he doesn't win a title. Big stuff happens virtually every year.
Well, I mean, in fairness, lots of stuff happened last year as well, right? They only had four returning players. But you're right. Colin's right. And it's the one, it's a fair critique of LeBron James that when LeBron's team loses, nobody ever goes like, you know, LeBron might not have been that good. None of what he's saying is inaccurate. In fact, I've heard the same. I've heard that a lot of the beef with Kuzma and Schroeder came down to most on the team thought that Kuzma was way better in the offseason, in the preseason. And Schroeder, who announced himself as the starting point guard, surprised teammates and even some of the coaching staff. And yet there he was, starting point guard, start of the season, whereas LeBron, who had started point guard the previous year when they won the title, was not. I don't think it sat well with Kyle Kuzma, who had a disappointing year. A part of his reason for a disappointing year was his opportunities were very different than he thought it would be. But it just proves that, like, look, the Lakers are a bit of a mess, and they're very much teetering. And I would say the Clippers, even though they lost in the Western Conference Finals, they feel like the more stable franchise now, even though historically they've been far more unstable.
What does the Fox say?
All right, let's get to this is Skip Bayless talking about fandom.
Hell hath no fury like a fandom scorned. And in this case, this fandom, especially Green Bay's, once you turn on them, they will turn on you like crazy. And when I used to read my mentions, my ads back in the day, it's been a long time ago, the biggest backlash I ever got was from Green Bay fans because they are vocal.
Yeah.
And when they will turn hard on Aaron Rodgers. And that is if he just digs in and says, I'm gone.
They turned on Brett Favre, but that's okay.
Okay, all right. So I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for. Because what if you get your wish and his, which is Denver, right? You want to talk about pressure? He would walk in the door in Denver with a legacy, as you keep reminding me, of quarterbacks who came to Denver to win a late career Super Bowl. Am I right?
Yeah.
So, Aaron, you're on. You're on stage because Shannon Sharp says you're a Super Bowl contender like that.
Yes, he
right?
is. Skip,
you might just switch completely around and pick them to win it all over my homeboy.
Yeah, I mean, look, this idea that Packer fans are going to turn on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is under contract. He's been a Green Bay Packer. His contract was the biggest contract in the history of the sport. So the idea that they're turning on him, like, no, it's pretty obvious Aaron Rodgers is trying to turn on everybody else. And those are the ramifications for it. That's what the Fox said.
What does the fox say?
Coming up next, is Texas really gone? And in the, if they're in the SEC, what does the college football landscape look like? And can they actually win the SEC? Find out next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.